This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Every Plate and Thrive Cosmetics. Thank you for making our show a possibility. Thank you so much.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Are you sure? Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by dating a traditional route. If these ovaries could talk, you would say. How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
So gay. We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad. Thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
It's not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys. I have a cold, so my voice is raspy. I think it sounds sexier this way, so that's fun. But just in case you're wondering, who is this person? I have a cold, but
either sexy or exhausted. Jamie is with us today.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. It's been a week.
That's how I sounded at the end of every senior week in college after like 5 days of like binge drinking. I always sounded like that.
Oh my god.
Hey.
I don't think I've ever done a senior week.
Oh god, it was so fun. All right, so we have a bit of news we have to announce, Jamie.
We do. We have some news.
It is some bittersweet news.
It is.
So I'm sad to report I'm leaving ovaries.
She's leaving our ovaries.
I know it's like I don't know how we didn't have a pun set up for this or like a play on the ovaries.
We're losing an ovary.
I cracked my egg.
I don't know.
We lost an ovary. That feels tragic.
No, that sounds bad. That feels it is kind of tragic. Not gonna lie, it's not my favorite thing that's happening in the world. I'm not gonna lie.
I know. I just full disclosure to everyone. It's very, very sad. I mean, we're just in June is like our 5 year anniversary of that talk at Cowgirl of talking about
that's
this.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
And we've 160 some odd episodes, and mm-hmm. we built a thing and wrote a book, and we've made this community, and it's going to be really sad to leave. It's going to be very sad to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't fear, all you loyal listeners out there, if there are any. I'm going to keep it. I'm keeping the ovaries going. This podcast is still going to live on. But Robin has to step down, and I don't know if you want to speak to your reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, essentially, I think a lot of people know that, by the way, our Patreon pitch after this is going to be fabulous, but...
that's one of my bullet points for later.
Go right into next. but I think we've talked about the fact that a couple of years ago, I gave up my job, like right before COVID hit, to really just work on this full time. And I did that. I was super excited, and because of the pandemic, I got to actually put another year toward it, and I was just going to try for a year, and I ended up doing full time for 2 years. And
there is really, you know, no Helen, guys. There really isn't.
There's no Helen.
Robin quit her job to do this. I did as much as I could to help with that. And this is where we're at.
Yeah. And it's like, and I just can't, like, I've got to go. I got a family and some kids, and I've got to go make some money. So, and to be able to put into this what I needed to put into it, I couldn't do all the things at once. It's like, you know how it is. It's like, as a parent, right? You can do, I remember when I went back to work, I was thinking, I'm no longer going to be able to do everything at 100%. I could do everything at about 75% is the best of, like, when you've got new kids. Well, that's, you know, kind of how I feel. Like, I can't give it the 100%. And I just feel like this community and you all really deserve that. And Jamie, as a partner, you deserve that. So, I mean, I was thrilled that Jamie said she was going to continue, because I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. And that's actually a great segue here, Robin, because, you know, also over here, two small kids, full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So just so you all know, I'm keeping this going. I'm going to do my best, but it might be at 75% for a while.
Yeah, it might be, but that's all right. That's all right.
We're going to keep it going. There's a lot. We've got a lot of plans. A lot of things are going to happen. And we're going to keep telling these very important stories. And that's the whole.
Yeah. And we streamlined some stuff. That's part of, like, losing the live stream to make it, you know, doable so that the good stories can be highlighted. But I am still out here on social. And if anybody wants to, like, stay with me, I'm at Real Rob Hops on all the socials. And, you know, say hi to me over there, because I'll probably be lonely now. I'll be like, where did my community go? So come find me.
I mean, you can come say hi to us anytime, too.
Of course I will, but I can't individually find,
you still know
find
the
listeners.
You still know the login info, so.
Until you change it, kick me out.
But it's very bittersweet. This is really sad, and it's not going to be the same without my other ovary's half, and I'm
your sad. Other ovary.
My other ovary. But, I mean, I still have both my ovaries. It's not that tragic, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? And
there was no hysterectomy.
I'm super sad that this is happening. But right now, if these ovaries could talk, is literally going through a transition.
My God, you're going through menopause.
I'm going through a major transition here. So just hope you guys stick with me and offer grace and patience and love while I push through this transition. We've got some more episodes, Robin and I, that we're going to do together.
Yeah, I think we got two more after this one, I believe.
And then we're transitioning into me and possibly some guest co-hosts, if you guys have any ideas. Ooh. What kind of a human you would like at the helm with me. I have some great ideas, and I'm wondering if there's anybody out there who has ideas. Send them my way. Send me an email, ovariestalk@gmail.com. And I'm afraid I just opened up that inbox to something unmanageable. But
I've always thought that you should do this, Jamie. I've always thought, bugs me about your show? Don't do that.
Okay. I welcome. I really do want your feedback. I want to know, what can I do to make this show even bigger and better? Not because Robin is leaving. That's not what I mean. But what can we do? What can I do? What can we do?
No, you guys, listen.
This is your show, people.
After like 5 years, like, needs a refresh, a rebrand, mm-hmm. like re-roll out, all the re's. And it's like, I think it's a great opportunity to just like, define it, make it even better. But I think it's like the bittersweet parts. Like, we built a really amazing thing. We've hit some really great highlights, and I'll be proud of every single thing. And I'll be proud of every email that came in of people telling us that we, you know, like helped. just this week, Cassie, remember
Cassie and Aaron?
Cherry? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cassie and Aaron. They came on because Ophira gave that voicemail.
Yeah.
You know, saying like, I wasn't going to let fear stop me. And they came on and they had lost a baby, you know, they had twins and like lost one of them. And like, it was heartbreaking. They were so scared. And then they were like, they heard Ophira and were like, we're going to try again. And they just put up on Facebook that they had a baby. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Yeah. Like we didn't make that baby pay for that baby.
Didn't we though? Didn't we make that baby?
Maybe we did a little bit. Maybe we did make that baby.
But it's all that stuff. It's all those stories.
Yeah.
Which is why I can't let this go. I'm too stubborn. I can't let this go. I want to keep sharing these stories because these stories are fucking important. And, you know, we're going to stay here for you. But if you have ever been on the fence about joining Patreon.
Now
might be the best time for you to join so I can maybe cut back on my day job and spend a little bit more time on the ovaries.
That's right.
Go ahead and do that. You get bonus content and you can tell me what of bonus content you would like. I'm open to suggestions. Let me know. Maybe there's something you'd prefer we put in Patreon and that's going to be the thing. What's the thing? What's the saying where the tips the camel's back?
The straw that tips the,
you know what I'm saying?
I do. It's not tips the bank. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back.
And that doesn't sound like the right.
That feels negative.
No, that doesn't sound.
It could be the tipping point.
That might be your tipping point. You know, you tell me what you want on that Patreon. And if I can manage it, I'll let you know.
Just added another work stream to yourself.
That's all I do. I have idea after idea. And I do my best to make it happen. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to keep this going. And it's really sad that Robin is leaving my ovaries.
I know. I'm sad. But you know what? It's like, I think it's new beginnings for everybody. And I think it's going to be, everything's going to be, what's your favorite saying, Jamie? Say it.
Everything. In the end, everything will be all right. If it is not, it's okay. If in the end, everything will be okay. If it is not okay, it is not the end. And it is definitely not the end. I'm in a transition.
It's not the end.
I'm in a transition, y'all. So
we're all in a transition.
Oh my God. Yes. And so are you. So we at Ovaries Talk wish you all the best in your next endeavors. And I hope you make a lot of money and spend some good quality time with your kids.
I hope so. And I just thank everybody. I won't say more because then I'll start crying. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to today's guests.
Okay.
They're like family to me.
It's a perfect episode for your little farewell.
I know the last three episodes that I get to be on are all really special. And so I'm super excited about that. But these guys, they're sister-in-law to my very best friend, Heather, Kathy and Brandon, and they are true testament to Chosen Family.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Chosen Family on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And this is the first episode we're doing that is just all about your Chosen Family. Kathy is Brandon's aunt, but she's also like his mom.
That's right. All right. I mean, listen, Helen, I think I'm leaving. You're going to have to step it up and do some
actual
work, Helen.
Does anybody know a real Helen? Is there anybody out there?
Push the button for Jamie when I'm not here.
Work,
please.
For free. For me.
She's going to fire you, Helen, if you don't start pushing the button.
Helen, can you just roll the tape, please? I'm out here on my own.
Woo!
Hello, hello.
Hi, Brandon. Kathy.
Hello.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi.
Robin.
Hi. I have to tell you, I am so excited to hear this story. I feel like it's really built up for us, and we'll tell you why, Robin.
Because we just spent the last 25 minutes going, okay, Kathy, try hitting this button. Now, can you hear us? I'm going to call you.
Technical difficulties, which happens a lot. You're not alone here.
And as soon as we got it so that she could hear us and we could hear her, we were like, hit record.
Let's go. And also, this is the first time ever our two guests are Zooming in from different locations, which is exciting.
Oh, that's why we had so many complications.
It's the first time ever. That's totally what it is.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
All right, let's start where we always start. This will help us get out of our tech funk and into interview mode. Let's start where we always start with the elevator pitch.
Okay, I'm going to put up this 30-second timer. Don't let it phase you. It's all good. You can just keep rolling. We won't cut you off. We never do.
Okay. Who's going first?
Kathy, you can go first.
Okay. Are you ready? On your mark.
Ready.
Get set. Go.
Okay. Hi, I am Kathy Tobias. I am Brandon's aunt/second mom. I guess the first time I realized he was going to be a special person was when I held him the first time as a baby. And we had this awesome connection. And of course, he didn't know it, but I felt like he was my child. And here we are 32 years later doing this show.
Ooh, Brandon, are you going to add in, Brandon? You want to add in?
Yeah, I am. So my name's Brandon. I'm from Georgia. I no longer live there. We can talk more about that later. But Kathy's always had like the most special place in my heart. And I'll leave it there. I know we're already over 30 seconds. So.
Oh, it's fine. I was being nice and I was giving you a full 30 seconds there, Brandon. But you guys did great. That was amazing.
You know, when we talked about having you all on the podcast, we talk a lot about chosen family and how important chosen family is. And we realized we've never highlighted a story where maybe somebody had something go a certain way in their, with their parents and moved to a chosen family situation. And we were so excited to share it. So, I mean, who's going to start?
Yeah, let's get into it. Start from, we know how it started in the beginning. Brandon was born. Kathy fell in love.
Kathy was always the coolest aunt. She was taking my sister and me like everywhere. She took us on the best trips. She really exposed us to she and Bob, her husband, my uncle, exposed us to so many things that we never would have experienced. I remember learning how to eat sushi. I don't know if my biological parents to this day can even use chopsticks to eat sushi. So, Kathy and Bob really, really did a lot for us and took us to Washington, D.C., really exposed us to culture and everything that's out there and great in the world. And I think it really expanded my mind. And I don't think I would be the person I am today without Kathy. I know. Aww. I wouldn't be the person I am today. So,
well, and you know what's so interesting is right out of the gate, you used the words my biological parents, which I feel like sets a tone for everything. So can we talk a little bit about that? I'm gonna make an assumption, and probably because I know that the gay issue had something to do with some of the stuff in your home, but can you tell us a little bit about that, when you started coming out and how that was affecting your home life?
Sure. So I mean, I always felt a little bit different, from a very young age, and the gay thing was definitely in retrospect was a big part of that. But, there was a lot of other stuff going on, between my parents as well. They ended up getting divorced. So, that played into it. But being gay on top of that definitely made everything a lot more difficult. And so I think that my grandma, so Kathy's mom, and Kathy basically kind of saved me in a lot of ways. I think I would have been really lost in life if I had not had them. I had the best conversations with my grandma when she was alive. And she was the most open-minded, kind person, right, Kathy?
Yes.
And when she passed away when I was 16, I was absolutely devastated.
Oh, sorry.
And Kathy, was always my other mom as well. And, after my grandma passed away, Kathy really became,
tried to become the matriarch.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a high level, kind of where we started, and we can kind of dive into more things if you have questions. So
I think we do.
Yeah. We're definitely going to have questions because we're so nosy.
We really are.
But Brandon, how old were you when you came out?
So I didn't really come out to everybody at the same time. And that's probably pretty common, right? I mean,
Same thing.
I mean, I think
the same thing.
I think I really started coming out to myself in middle school. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, in retrospect, I can see that I always kind of knew. Even in elementary school, I always tell people I love slumber parties with my guy friends, and I love wrestling in the front yard.
I bet you did.
I was definitely getting more out of it, than they were, or something different, right?
You were like, hold on, pin me again.
Yeah.
Pin me again.
So then to myself in middle school, and then in high school, maybe 10th grade or so, I started telling more friends, and there were other gay classmates mm-hmm. in my school as well. So I feel lucky to, have had other people who were coming out as well. And then I had my first boyfriend when I was in 11th grade, so junior year. And then I think I told Kathy between maybe junior and senior year, I came out to Kathy, and that was the first family member. Yeah, you were the first family member. I didn't tell anyone else.
And I'm imagining that went well.
Yeah, I think, Kathy, I mean, you can speak to this, but I think you were totally fine with it, of course. I mean, Kathy's always had gay friends, and, I knew she would be okay with it, but I think maybe, I don't want to speak for you, but why don't you kind of say how you felt?
Yeah, and I also want to know if you knew this was coming, Kathy.
No, I had no idea. And I have a pretty good radar. Yeah. But, you know, when it's family, you don't. Gaydar. Yeah.
Yeah.
But my mom and I always thought, you know, she never wanted to say she had a favorite, but. And so.
But she did.
Yeah.
But she did.
And back in the 70s, I had lots of gay friends and they would come over and my parents would let them in and my mom would let them go in and borrow dresses. And I mean, she was just really cool for someone born in 1929. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So. Very
in the country in South Georgia, right?
Yeah, that's layered.
Yeah,
part of me, you know, knew there were going to be hardships and struggles, but
in,
I knew that
in his family, you mean, or in his with his biological parents, or did you mean in his life, or both?
In his life,
yeah,
because not everyone is accepting,
right? Right. So. Very true. Very true.
Jamie, I just got my Every Plate meal kit in the mail and I am super excited. I mean, I never used to buy the meal kits because I thought all of them were really expensive, but now I'm convinced you can get the same deliciousness at a much lower price because I used Every Plate.
Yes, and not to mention the convenience of a good meal kit like Every Plate. Every Plate cuts out trips to the grocery store, which I love, and stressful meal planning. That's the part of cooking I hate the most. I get so stressed out planning the meals, and I hate grocery shopping. I really do. But I do love cooking, and Every Plate makes cooking enjoyable for me. Thank you, Every Plate.
Yeah, and also for those looking for a quick and satisfying fix who don't have the time to really go hard on a complicated recipe, like I'm talking to all you parents out there with intrusive, attention-stealing kids, Every Plate now offers a selection of recipes that come together in just 20 to 25 minutes, as well as easy cleanup options.
I love the easy cleanup option. Yes, please. Thank you very much. And you get to choose between 17 recipes that change each week. And you can swap proteins, veggies, the sides, all to your liking. And I mean it when I say Every Plate is affordable. One meal from Every Plate, you guys, is about the same price as one cup of coffee when you break it down.
You heard it here, folks. Give yourself and your wallet a break. Enjoy delicious, affordable meals delivered to your door and ready to go in just six simple steps. Even my daughter loves cooking these meals with me, and we are almost to the point where I can just let her take it over completely. And I know she's in good hands with the ingredients and the instructions in Every Plate.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I can't wait till I'm there. So guys, get started with Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code OCT179.
Yes, folks, try Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code OCT179.
That's up to $104 value.
Get it. That's good.
Like I said, my grandma passed away when I was 16. And I think there was also, I think I always sort of, I don't want to say regretted, but I guess I would have liked to have come out to her, you know, but I was, that's just not where I was in my process. So I think a lot of that was kind of weighing on me at the time too. And I know she would have been accepting, but it would have been nice to have had like that conversation with her. Cause I was still definitely grieving, you know, the loss when I was coming out to Kathy. Right. Cause it had only been like a year or so. So yeah.
Yeah.
And then most of the hardships, I think Kathy knew that a lot of our family would not be accepting. And so Kathy is my dad's sister. So more of the hardships from the family side of things came from my mom's side of the family.
Including your mom?
Yes. Yes. And I think Kathy knew that that was going to eventually become an issue, right?
Yes.
That's tough.
And it did. And it wasn't easy. So.
So what happened? So you told Kathy first and eventually you told your parents.
So I did. So I had my first boyfriend in junior year of high school. And then I had my second boyfriend my senior year, and I went off to college in Nashville, and my boyfriend was a year younger, so he was still in high school. We went to high school together, and at that time, so basically, I lived with my mom and stepdad until I went to college, even though I was always with Kathy, always hanging out with her and Bob. I lived with my mom and stepdad, and they were helping, you know, support me through college. When I came back for the summer between my freshman and sophomore year at college, my mom went through my stuff and found a love letter from my boyfriend at the time, because we we wrote love letters to each other, right? And I mean,
she must have been, she must have known something if she's snooping through your stuff.
I think so. I think so. And because they also, they saw books on like Buddhism and things like that.
Which wouldn't resonate well with them either, right?
No. Yeah. So it was a very, very confrontational event. I had a half brother, you know, from my stepdad who was, I think, let's see, he would have been 3 at the time. Uh-huh. And they basically said they didn't want me to be around and to, you know, be
make
a negative.
Him gay.
Yeah. Make it basically. And then they started saying like, I need to like get the Buddhism books like out of the house immediately.
Oh my God.
You know, that basically I was like a sinner and like, basically like, you know, I couldn't stay under the roof anymore. So that's when, you know, I officially moved in with Kathy and Bob.
Oh my goodness.
And so all the holidays, all the breaks I had during college, I went back to Kathy and Bob's after that. And I didn't talk to my mom for years.
Oh,
wow.
God, that must have been hard.
Yeah. And I don't think about it that much anymore. You know, it's just, but it is a very like painful sort of, you know, painful memory. It was a tough time, right, Kathy? I mean,
yes, it was tough.
Yeah.
And did you see that coming, Kath?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I knew how she thought. And
you were getting the guest room ready. You were like, we got an extra room.
It's Brandon's room.
It's still my room.
Anytime when anybody comes to stay, I'm like, you can stay in Brandon's room. So, yeah. And when people would come over, it was so funny. They would want to come over. They come over and they're like, well, can I see the rest of your house? And I'd be like, sure. And they go into Brandon's room and they were like, wow, this looks so good. I was like, well, the rest of my house must look like shit.
So, but what was it like for you, Kathy? So he shows up on your door and take us through it. Take us through your thoughts. And
well, I was just happy. I was happy he was moving in with me. That's where he should have been the whole time.
Oh. That's perfect.
I was very happy. I don't know, you know, about Bob, but when Bob married me, I kind of told him, you know, if you're not just marrying me, you're marrying my family. Mm-hmm. And they'll always come, you know, I won't leave my family ever, especially my parents. Mm-hmm. I was that way. So I haven't left yet. We're still here. And yeah, I was happy to have Brandon.
Yeah.
And I want to say Bob has always been very supportive and his family as well.
That's great.
How did that shake you up in college? Like you're in the middle of college and all of a sudden you, I mean, it's like, thank God you have Kathy in this like welcoming, amazing aunt, but like you had to also be processing the fact that your mother just said you can't come back to this house because you're a pedophile and you're a horrible person. And also a Buddhist.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just ridiculous. of all the things to be upset about, how dare you better yourself with Buddhism? Get out of my house.
Yeah. I mean, they basically said that was, you know, like Satan and like devil worship and stuff. I mean, really, like, yeah. So,
devil worship.
Yeah, it was some pretty extreme stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough and it put a lot of strain on my relationship at the time. And, you know, I think it had some really unhealthy psychological consequences. You know, I don't think I did as well in college as I could have if I'd not had to deal with that. I mean, luckily Kathy stepped up to the plate to help out, but it was definitely a really hard time. And college was tough. I mean, I went to a big top university, and it was tough enough just to like get through my classes and try to keep up with things academically. So, you know, having to process all that emotional, you know, garbage, it was kind of a dark period, kind of put a storm cloud over my college experience in a lot of ways.
Did it also mean taking away financial security as well? Like, were they supporting you through college and stuff? And did that end?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a tough thing too. I had to really advocate for myself. I went to Vanderbilt in Nashville. And so I already had some scholarships and whatnot, but it didn't completely cover tuition. And so, but yeah, when they kicked me out, they were like, we're not helping you anymore. You're on your own. And so, you know, I explained the situation to the financial aid office, and they actually were able to find another scholarship to help fill the gap.
Are you serious? That's incredible.
It took, you know, like 6 months of going and, you know, because they have to make sure that someone's not just like making up a story, you know, like,
yeah.
So I'm really thankful for that. And then of course, Kathy and Bob, you know, supported me and, you know, financially as well.
They really cut you off.
And like I said, I didn't talk to my mom for a few years. So,
and what about your dad, your biological dad?
Yeah. So he was kind of going through his own issues and problems during the time, you know, this time. Mm-hmm. He has, you know, things he's dealing with. Yeah.
Struggles with.
Exactly. And so, he was just kind of absent. Mm.
Did he know what was happening with you? Like, did you say, hey, mom kicked me out of the house? Or were you just like, fuck it, I'm going to Kathy's? Which like, is, by the way, what like, I would
fuck
say.
It, I'm going to Kathy's.
That's the name of this episode.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it is. That's so good, Jamie.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm going to Kathy's. So, okay. So you didn't check in with your dad. You were just like, he can't help me. I know this much.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to my childhood. I think I grew up really fast compared to a lot of kids. On top of being gay, like just the family dynamics with my parents, you know, they had me when they were really young. I think my mom was 19 and my dad was like 21. And so from a young age, I just saw that they just didn't have the ability, you know, to really provide a lot of the emotional support that I needed. And so, like I said, luckily I had Kathy and my grandma there. And so, yeah, it just was never really like it wasn't really an option, I guess, for me to,
yeah,
you know, go to my dad and like really talk about it or anything. So
yeah.
I don't know. Kathy, did you have any?
That's your brother, right, Kathy?
Yes, that's my brother. He's not a talker. He doesn't really open up about things to you, but he's never said anything bad about Brandon being gay. But I mean, he was around a lot of gay people because he is my little brother. So
yeah. But he just had his own limitations as to what he was able to do or be as a parent, which that is the case sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you at now with your mom?
We chat like every 2 months or so. We keep it pretty high level.
And how did you work back to talking at all? Like, did it weigh on you and you were like, I don't want to not have her in my life at all? Or,
well, she reached out to me to come to my college graduation, actually, which was kind of like,
bitch.
Of course. That was what I said.
Oh, if I was you, Kathy, I would have said the same thing. I would have been like, excuse me.
So I had to really
take credit.
So I had to really dig deep, you know, and they ended up coming to the graduation, but they met my boyfriend at the time, who I was with for 6 years. We started dating maybe like 3 or 4 months before graduation. And I just made it very clear, you're coming here on my terms.
Yeah.
If we go to dinner, if we do anything, then, you know, my boyfriend's coming with me. And he did.
What was her reaction to you saying that? And then also,
did she go, are you also a Buddhist? Yeah. A devil Satan worship Buddhist shit.
No, I think she knew. I think I set the ground rules and I
good for you.
I felt very empowered after that, you know, like this is on my terms, it's not on your terms. And that's why I allowed them to come. If she had said no, I would have been like, well, then you can come to Nashville, but you're not gonna see me if you don't see my boyfriend. So that was a very important sort of step for me, you know, my 20s. It's, you know, this is on my terms now, not yours.
Yeah. How was she on the visit?
They were fine. Yeah. I mean, they were nice to my boyfriend.
But that had to bring some shit up for you, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean,
it's
inside,
like all of a sudden,
like
you're standing
uncomfortable,
there.
You know, like just, I was angry and, you know, I was excited to be graduating, but I was really, really mixed bag of emotions at the time, you know, like excited for the next step in my life, but then just, like I said, angry, right? You know, that things had to like go the way they did. And so.
And like of all the times to show up, there's something so offensive because it feels like, and I don't know your mom, but I am team Brandon. And obviously that's clear, as I'm sure Jamie is as well. And we're fuck it, I'm going to Kathy's team as well. But like there is something that feels like coming to take credit of your accomplishment. Yep. You know, I mean, maybe I should give more credit. Kathy's waving her head no, but like, because it's like, maybe she's coming because she's proud of you, but I don't know. I just feel like you should have been proud of you the whole time you were in college.
Should have been proud of you for coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It. But you know, in some ways, I guess I totally agree with all of that. But in some ways, I'm glad that it sort of happened the way it did because it did give me some sense of empowerment, right?
And that's true.
So you know, at least I was able to do that at 22 versus like you know later in my 20s. You know, I think it that's the silver lining, I guess, in that situation is that it really helped me grow as a person.
Well, it takes you out of the victim position and puts you into the person who's saying I control who's around me, whether they're good or bad. And I control if you get access to me.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's
I still had a lot of issues to deal with in my 20s, but you know, at least, you know, that was a positive.
well, who didn't?
Yeah.
But yours were bigger.
And so are you you speak like every 3 months, but are you guys on good terms? Does she accept your lifestyle now or is it just something that's not talked about?
She'll ask like how we're doing, but she doesn't really like say my boyfriend's name or my partner's name. Now it's kind of, I don't know. Maybe she's just uncomfortable because I don't know if she's ever really had other gay friends or gay.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, has she been around gay people and where does this hatred of gays come from?
I think it's just the upbringing in the South, right? You know, and I mean, it's, you know, it's not like it's only in the South. It's in other, you know, places as well. But I think just she came from a very, you know, like Southern Baptist kind of background, you know, and
yeah.
And I think with my stepdad too, I think she would have been more okay with it. But I think his influence really kind of had some weight in the situation that it wouldn't have, you know, I think she would have been more okay otherwise.
Oh, that's too bad for her, though. It's really too bad. She's given up a son.
She lost a son.
Yeah.
Where was your sister in all this? Did she feel caught in the middle or are you all close or?
We're not close. I mean, I went to her wedding maybe like 5 or 6 years ago and I see her, you know, I see my mom over the holidays too when I go back to Georgia. I try to go every year for Christmas and I see my, you know, nieces and my sister's, I think she had gay friends. I think she's fine. I don't think she really, you know.
So any fallout there is you already were where you were.
Yeah, there was more of a rift between us because of our parents' divorce than anything. I don't think it had to do with me being gay. I think she's okay. I mean, Kathy, would you?
Yes, her husband's brother is gay, so she's around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gay people are everywhere, right?
We are taking over the world. Watch out.
Well, I mean, what's so amazing is that you had an Aunt Kathy and Bob. You know what I mean? It's like, I think about all the kids who are in your position and especially even the ones that maybe it happens in high school too, like how horrific and hard that is. It's like, just thank God someone was there for you and that Kathy had this influence all along on you. Like she recognized something, she was filling a void before it was even a gay void.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I mean, she supported my sister too. You know, it wasn't just me. Like she really, like I said, she and Bob really exposed us to a lot in life. I mean, she took us to Nashville for the first time and to DC. And those were the first two cities I lived in after I left Georgia.
Okay, Robin, I'm going to tell you why I made a new Thrive Cosmetics order. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Here we go. They don't use parabens, sulfates, or phthalates in their products. They are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Everything is made with skin-loving ingredients, and every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive. Cause is in the name for a reason. Boom.
I mean, that sums up my feelings about Thrive Cosmetics as well. I'm wearing my Liquid Lash Extension Mascara from them right now.
Looks very nice.
Right? I just love how clean it goes on and there's no clumping and it washes off so easily with just warm water and a washcloth.
Mm-hmm.
No smudging. I hate the smudge.
I hate the smudge. And it looks good. You look good, Robin.
Thank you.
And you know how in love I am with the Overnight Sensation Brightening Sleep Mask. I've talked about this before. I put it on at night, every night, especially when I know I'm not going to get enough sleep, which is every night. And whatever good antioxidant-packed, good-for-your-skin ingredients are in that mask makes me look bright and refreshed the next morning. It's like magic, no matter what. It's a miracle mask. I am in love. My skin looks smooth, bright, hydrated. I'm fooling them all. I love it.
I mean, listen, all about the smoke and mirrors. Yeah. I mean, here's another reason to love Thrive Cosmetics. They're bigger than Beauty Promise. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. I can get behind all of those causes, and I love that me buying makeup and skincare products that I love helps these important causes.
Me too, totally. And now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/OCT.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/OCT for 15% off your first order.
Yay. Woo. I love it. Go get those products.
Do good. Do good and look nice. Well, Kathy, you know, one of the things that we talked about, because Kathy's an elementary school teacher, and you've had some things come up recently with kids coming out. Like, what is it, fourth grade you teach?
Fourth grade, yes.
And you tell the story. You had someone come out. And
One of the students in my classroom approached another girl on the playground and asked her if she was gay. And I didn't know about the situation. So she went to older teacher that's a little more closed-minded, and she talked to her about it. And then I got the, you know, this is what happened on the playground. The little girl has not talked to me about being gay, but I did call her mom. Wasn't about that. I just called for a conference. And I felt comfortable with the mother. So I said, there's something I want to ask you about. She said, go ahead. And I told her about the little girl saying that. And I said, and it's okay. It's okay with me. And the mother talked to me very openly about, you know, we've told her what community she's going to be a part of. The little girl knew all about that. That's what she told the other teacher about, was she was going to be a part of a new community. And so her parents are very open and accepting. And, you know, they're like, well, she, you know, when she's in first grade, she had a boyfriend. Now she's in fourth grade and she says she's gay. She likes girls. So I told the mom, I said, well, as far as on my end, she has me. So tell her if she needs to talk to someone at school, I'm the go-to. Don't go to the other two teachers. And I told her that I had a gay son and I was cool with it. And that if she ever needed to talk to me, she could call me as well. So
that's good. Too bad that there's two teachers that you can't go to, but
I was going
to
say, what did they have? Not without talking out of turn, is there a way to say what they said, or if you don't feel comfortable?
No, it's just the way they responded when they told me, when we all three talked about it together. I could tell that they were like, she doesn't know. And I'm like, yes, she could know in elementary school if she's gay or not.
Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, whatever a fourth grader tells you should be nurtured and, you know.
Exactly.
You tell her to use if she needs to talk to you, she'd use the code word, fuck it, I'm going to Kathy's. except for maybe she shouldn't say that because she's in fourth grade.
Right.
It's hard with all this stuff, like the don't say gay stuff in Florida. Like, it's just,
oh, I know.
I just keep thinking
it's
about,
so terrible. It's right? Just completely
all
awful.
All the kids that are going to be outed, that are going to be, you know,
can you imagine? I can't even.
In Texas, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the Texas thing is really messed up, too.
Well, and I'm sure there's a host of other states that are just watching to see what happens, to see if they can adopt it as well.
Oh, there's a bunch of states who are following suit in their own different ways. I saw a post from them on it, and it was like, they listed like 8 states that are very close to
following suit.
They say
they're not all Southern. Are they all Southern?
They weren't. I don't remember. There was one in the Midwest. Okay. They're not all Southern.
Good. Because we're not that bad, really. We're really not that bad. Not all of us.
But I'm just so thankful, like, that you are in place in the schools, that you were in place in Brandon's life, because it's just, I mean, like, you could see in Brandon's life, like, you made a direct impact and created something for him that he would not have had. But then in the school, you can make an even bigger impact. And it's really wonderful that you were there.
Hopefully that doesn't go away with all these crazy laws. You know, it's sad to think that Kathy might not even be able to do what she did if, like, Georgia, you know, comes up with a law like,
don't say
Florida,
gay.
Yeah. Like Florida.
What would you do, Kathy? I mean, not to put you on the spot, but like, would you keep teaching or what would you just be like, fuck it, I'm going to say what I say and then let them come
fuck
after
it,
me.
Going to Kathy's.
Fuck it, I'm going to my own house.
No, fuck it, I'm going to Robin's. I'm going to teach in New York.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you know what is interesting? We're here in the New York bubble. And so we hear about the hatred that is pointed at our community, but we don't really see it. It's so far removed for us. So when we hear stories like yours, it's hard to hear, but also good to hear because
it's a good reminder.
Yeah.
It's still happening. It's easy to forget that.
Not that long ago that this happened, right?
Well, I mean, I'm in my 30s now, so it's been a little while. I mean, it's been
less than 10 years.
It's been about 11 years. Yeah.
11 years.
That's still not that long though.
No, not in the big picture. It's not that.
That's in the 2000s.
Yeah. It's not that long ago. Yeah. I mean, this is when Obama was president. Yeah. So it's not that long, you know. But it's easy to forget, you know, when you move to places like DC, because I lived in DC before I lived in San Diego. Now I've been in San Diego for going on 7 years, you know, and it's really easy to forget. You know, you like to think that the world is like made so much progress, which it has. And you like that everything is much better for everyone, but it's not, you know, and you forget about it until things come up like these new laws, you know, that really kind of spotlights, you know, puts a spotlight on like the fact that there's still big problems for you know the LGBTQ community, right? And not everyone's lucky enough to live in a community or have parents that are supportive.
Absolutely.
And it breaks my heart because now you have like this legislation, and I mean, how many kids are going to suffer because of this, right?
It's so sad that it's attacking the youth. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going after kids?
Like, if I were in school, what? I would be like really depressed, right? And just like really upset if my, you know, government in my state was like, felt like that was a priority, you know, like to basically like reject me. Like, that's just
to say you're not valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like our kids, you know, going into school, then they can't talk about their gay moms. They can't talk about their family.
And I was
going
to bring that point up because I think I was reading that Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, he made that point. Mm-hmm. He's like, he was very critical of the Florida law because he's like, what are kids not supposed to talk about their parents? Is that all of a sudden like illegal to say like my dad's or my mom's?
I know. What are we, Handmaid's Tale over here?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Well, and the law is very vague. So they don't know the answer to that. So it will really be up to whatever teacher or person that it happens to. They can be reported. They can be, you know, it's like that's, but it, like you said, there is this inherent feeling of my state doesn't support me. My story is not valid. I'm less than, you know, the state is literally telling you your family is not okay in some way.
You can't even talk about your parents if, you know, like if you're like a fourth grader, you know, like that's just insane. Like,
It's a scary prospect and hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah.
Really take hold.
I really hope not.
I have students that have two moms and two dads. So I see it.
And that's one of the things that we're always advocating for is the ability to like have the schools talk about pride, have the schools have books in the classroom that represent all families. All that's going to go by the wayside.
Yep.
In those states. Yeah.
And now those little kids feel like Jamie and I talk about this all the time, like othered, but like, when they do Father's Day, like we had to, when my kids were really young, we had to have conversations with the teachers and be like, is there, and they'd be like, can we find a substitute person? Can we, and we had to have those conversations. That won't happen for those kids. They will just have to sit there while everybody draws a card to their father. Mm-hmm. And maybe
well,
they have
they're
two
gonna
moms.
They'll draw a card to their father. That's what happened to us at daycare. He came home with his huge Father's Day with a photo. We were like, thank you.
When you're around kids, you realize like how like open-minded kids are and that really like society, that's what really, you know, creates hate, right? You know, kids are, I think, generally accepting, right? Mm-hmm. And loving, and that, you know, they don't think about it like, oh, you're two women or two men or this or that, you know, they just, kids just need to love and be nurtured. And, you know, I guess like, I didn't have, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, like I didn't really have that with my biological parents, you know, there was always kind of a disconnect. And so when someone tries to take that from someone else who does have that, cause it's so special, right? That bond, it's really upsetting to me because it's like, you know, I didn't have that. And these kids are lucky enough to have that. And then someone else is trying to take it away or make it less, you know, then and so that's just like you guys said, hopefully it doesn't actually go into effect, and because it really, really makes me sad.
Yeah. Well, we're thankful that you chose to share your story with us and that Kathy existed and that she was there for you and that even as hard as it was, there was a positive outcome in your life. And that, you know, and that by sharing your story, this may go to someone else who needs to hear it. So we're really thankful.
They'll be moving in with me. Thanks, Robin.
We're all going to fucking Kathy.
Okay, let's go. Kathy. I love how you changed it to fucking Kathy.
Wait, what was it before?
Fuck it. We're all going to fucking Kathy.
We're just
going to
fucking Kathy's. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Ugh. I mean, right? Just like, thank God Brandon had Kathy in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine if not?
No.
Don't you just wish every young LGBTQ kid had an Aunt Kathy?
I know. I do. Everybody should have an Aunt Kathy. Yeah. Fuck it. I'm going to Kathy's. That was my favorite.
I'm going to fucking Kathy's.
I'm just glad she's out there teaching and she's making a difference. And I loved him. And I hope he figures out what he wants to do about being a parent, but it doesn't matter because he found Kathy. And fuck it, I'm going to Kathy's.
That's all that matters. All right, well, you amazing. Guys, as usual, keep in touch, especially right now.
Yes.
Email, send some DMs. I'm here. I'm here for everything you have to say, and Robin's here too.
Oh my God, send at Real Rob Hops, for God's sakes. Please don't leave me.
We're going to ask you to CC everyone. We're going to ask you to add some DMs. No, just kidding. Just do what you can, guys. Do what you can and keep tuning in.
Yes.
And we are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And you know it. You can support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. That's where you're going to get that bonus content.
And thank you to our sponsors, Every Plate and Thrive Cosmetics. And a huge thank you to all of you folks who have been and or have in the past and are already Patreons. You're helping us make the show, and we thank you.
We thank you so much.
The fact that we didn't have to dip into our pocket after year one was a testament to, you know, to people's support.
Yes. You are helping us make this content. Thank you so much. Let's get it out even broader into the world. Let's figure that out.
All right.
It's going to happen.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.